Dearly beloved, we've come into the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises you have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name.
The Almighty and Merciful Father has forgiven us, granted us pardon and forgiveness for all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word for this evening is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Here ends the lesson.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme for this week, as you have noted, is the Word of God. The Gospel for Sexagesima Sunday is the parable of the sower who sows seed which lands some on the wayside, some on the rock, some on thorns, and some on good ground. And the point that Jesus wants to make as he teaches his disciples after he has told the parable is that it is God's word that awakens faith, but that it may be killed out by being trampled on the wayside or choked out by the cares and worries of this life, or choked out by thistles. Yesterday morning we heard the words of the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the sum of which is, "My word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." It's on the basis of that biblical teaching about the powerful word of God that the fathers of our church in our Lutheran confessions and the Augsburg confessions say, "Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God in those who hear the gospel." Those words of our confession echo the words of our lesson for this evening. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. The theme which the Bible emphasizes over and over again is that God exercises his almighty power in his word. In the creation, God speaks his word, and the world comes to be. "Let there be light," and it says, "And there was light." The psalmist writes, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And that theme is echoed in the letter to the Hebrews, when we hear, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." It was by his word that our Lord called Lazarus out of the grave. "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out of the grave. And he also raises the son of the widow of Nain. "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he did. And at the last day, we are told, "The hour is coming when those who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. This is the Lord who brings life out of death simply by speaking his word. Perhaps the most powerful miracle of his word, however, is the one that is performed in the human heart. St. Paul likens this miracle to the creation of the world when he writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, "It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." He exclaims in his letter to the Romans, St. Paul does, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And then he writes to Timothy, "You have known the Holy Scripture, which is able," that is, which has the power, same word as in Romans 1, "to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so it is not at all a mystery. It is not at all unclear how God has chosen to deal with his creation. He brought the world and everything in it into existence simply by willing it. He wills it. And that is what it is for God to speak. He wills it, and it comes into being out of nothing. To the formlessness and the emptiness and the darkness of the heart of mankind who disobeyed him, he speaks and he shows himself in his Son, the Logos, the Word, by which he wants to make his love and his grace known. The light in the human heart, which was a light from his creation, was snuffed out by disobedience. And yet this God comes to us as the powerful, creating light in his Son. Just as he said, "Let there be light," and light came out of darkness, he has also come into the darkness of our hearts and created anew the light of his Son, who is called the light of the world. When Jesus walked on the way to Gethsemane with his disciples on that Maundy Thursday evening, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And you remember Philip said something like this, "Well, when are we going to get to see this Father?" And Jesus replies, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." This is the Logos. This is how God has shown himself to us. And so the letter to the Hebrews begins, "God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power." He speaks because he is the Word, the Logos of God, as God made flesh. He speaks by his own mouth. And thus the Apostle Paul speaks to us about the Word of God as incorruptible, which lives and abides forever. And those words are echoed by James, who writes, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth." So much has he invested in his creation that he speaks to his creation by his Son. And so it always goes back to the Word. This Word, the Word of the Gospel, is the power, the dynamis, by which God has made his will known, works his will among us and in our hearts. It is the light that lightens the darkness. It is the life that gives life. It is the truth which destroys all falsehood. Through it, faith in the perfect righteousness of his Son is kindled by the power of this gospel. It's the power of God for salvation, because in it God reveals the righteousness of his Son, with which I can stand before him. Here at the college, we live in a world of textbooks, don't we? We expect our textbooks, especially as expensive as they are, to be accurate and to convey reliable information. But there is something that those textbooks, no matter how much they cost, can't do. They cannot in themselves create intelligence, and they can't create knowledge. By themselves, they don't have the power to make us smart. It all depends on what you do with them. But the Word of God is not like a textbook in that way. The faith to which it invites you, it creates in its powerful, life-giving way. It does make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Our text says that you are born again through this incorruptible Word of God. That rebirth is the reawakening, the awakening of faith, which is worked by the gospel itself. This powerful Word of God comes to us in many ways, not just in reading or hearing the scripture, but in preaching, in the water of baptism, in the declaration of the forgiveness of sins, in the absolution, and in the body and blood of his Holy Supper. All of that is the same powerful word, the incorruptible word, which abides and endures forever. It has the same power when we remember his promises to us. Everything else around us fades away and decays, but not the powerful word of his gospel. To him alone be the glory. Amen.
affliction and temptation.